Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Yuma Ayin Zayin. We are at the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, right at the first wide line. Says the Gemara in the middle of that line, V'ani bosi b'dvorecha. Now yesterday, we concluded with an account of Daniel's Inui. He experienced Inui. He deprived himself of various enjoyable experiences in order to arouse Rachmanus by Hashem on account of the Churban HaMikdash. And Malach Gavriel came to give him a visit. He says, Hashem accepted your Inui. He acknowledged the effort made by Daniel, and he ended with these words. Gavriel tells him, "Va'ani bosi b'dvarecha." What did he mean with those words? "My va'ani bosi b'dvarecha." Let's take a look at Rashi, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. "Va'ani bosi b'dvarecha seifei da'hu kradil el altir Daniel v'goymer." That's the conclusion of that pasuk. How Gavriel is responding to Daniel's efforts. And he says, "V'ani bosi b'dvarecha," which means, "Nichnasti l'toicha paragut b'shvilcha." On account of you, because of you, I was let back into the paragut, back into the makim of the shchina in Shemayim. Paragut is that mechitza between shchina and the malachim. I was banished from the paragut, and then because of you, I was allowed back in. What does this mean? Says Rashi, "Mai v'ani bosi masai nigrash mitoichai." When was he chased out of it? Shehut shochli kanis. They needed to go back. The Gemara will come to explain this pasuk and begin with a whole account, a whole narration of various aspects of that portion of history. And towards the end, the Gemara will go back and give us the pshat in these three words. So once again, says the Gemara, "Mai, what does this mean? Vani basi b'dvarecha." Hainu dichsiv, as the pasuk says, this is a pasuk in Yecheskel, where Hashem showed him a vision, a nevuah. He was in Bavel, and he saw a vision of Yisrael engaging in inappropriate behavior of a dezora in Yerushalayim, and he saw as follows: "V'shivim ish mezikin ebeis Yisrael." I saw 70 zikanim of Yisrael. V'yazno ben Shafan oimed besoichem, and amongst them Yazno was standing. Oimdim lifneim, so they were all standing as a group in front of the avoid the zoris, in front of their idols. V'ish miktar tobiyode, each one had a kli with k'tiris. V'asar nana k'tiris oilem, from which the cloud of k'tiris ascended upward, and this is the way they were worshipping the avoid the zora. And Yecheskel describes further, "Vayishlach tavnes yad." There was this fiery figure who extended his hand to me, "Vaykocheni v'tzitzis roshi," and grabbed me by the hair of my head, "Vatisa oisi rach ben ha'oritz," ubein ha'shamayim, and a spirit carried me between heaven and earth, "Vatovei oisi Yerushalayim," and brought me, delivered me to Yerushalayim, "B'maros elokim." This was all within the heavenly vision that I was experiencing. Where did the hand take me? Where was I transported to? El Pesach Shara Pnimis Hapoina Tzofoina, to the inner Shar of the Beis HaMikdash, Shar HaZora, facing north. Asher Shom Moishav Semel Hakina Pamak. That's where I saw a semel, a form, an idol of Kina HaMakna, which means something which arouses the anger, the wrath of Hashem. And the pasuk continues, "Vayavi oisi el chotzer beis Hashem apnimis." I was further transported to the inner courtyard of the beis hamikdash, to the azora. "Vihine pesach hechel Hashem," and here is the pesach of the hechel, "bein ulam bein mizbeach." What do I see there? In front of the hechel, I noticed ki esr mechamisha ish, about 25 people, achireim al hechel Hashem, with our backs towards the Hechel, upneim kedmo, facing east, v'hemem mishtachvim kedmo l'shemesh, bowing to the sun, doing avodah zarah. Now, he had a question. The Gemara's shaila. Mimash, Mashenemar, Upneim Kedma. The fact that the Pasuk describes them as facing east. Any idea, Shachareim, Alech Lashem? Don't I know? Well, naturally, if they're facing east and their back is facing the Hechel, which was to the west. Elamata Madloima Achareim, Alech Lashem. Why does the Pasuk repeat? Their back was facing the Hechel. Malamis teaches us that they were engaged in very inappropriate behavior, show you Purin Atzman. They were uncovering themselves for matrizen klapi mata and tending to their needs towards mata. This is a lashon of euphemism, meaning towards klapi mala, towards Hashem, towards the Hechel. So on the one hand, they were worshiping Avodah Zarah, bowing to the sun, and at the same time, uncover their backs and tend to their needs, klapi Hashem. Omele kadosh baruch hu l'michael. Hashem turns to Michael, who's the Tsar, caretaker of Yisrael. And he says, Michael, Sarcha u'masecha, your nation has strayed. And interesting to note that the Ramban in Parshas Achrimais points out that all the nations of the world, all the Shivim Umois, each one has a caretaker, a real Tsar, a minister in Shemaim, who looks after it, takes care of its interests in Shemaim, except for one nation, which is unique, which is special, who only Hashem looks after. We have a direct relationship with our Father Hashem, that's Israel. So the Shaila is, why was Hashem referring to Michael in this manner? Sarcha u'mosecha. So some version explained it's not really like a Sar, like the others that we're going to see soon, Sar of Pora, Sar of Yavan. He was sort of an advocate for Israel, but not really a Sar, really, really took care of Klal Yisrael, that only Hashem does. What the Ramban says, perhaps this concept is only in Eretz Yisrael itself, but if Yisrael are found throughout the world, then there's also some sort of a Sar, Michal, that has to look after the needs. In any case, Sarcha Omosecha, what are we going to do with the Klal Yisrael? Look what's going on. Amal Lefan of Rebbein Yisrael. So Michal turns back and he says, Rebbein Yisraelam Dayi Latayim Shebehem. Why can't we suffice with the good ones amongst them? Look, there are tzaddikim here that aren't involved in Avodah Zarah. Be moichel, everybody on account of the tzaddikim. Amalei Hashem responds, Ani soyref oisam v'latevim shbehem. I'm going to burn the Rishayim and the tzaddikim. Why? It says, Tosis Yishanim, based on the Gemara Shabbos. Lefi shiloi michel. They're also held accountable. They didn't protest. They should have been moicha on the Avodah Zarah. So they're also considered guilty. Miyad, immediately what happened, Vayomer l'ish levush habadim. Hashem instructed the ish levush habadim, which is Gavriel, Rashi says. The ish who was dressed in white linen. The Malach Gavriel, who as we learn in Maseches Pesachim, may remember, is the Malach shel Eish. So he got the following instructions. Burn Yerushalayim. Vayomer, he told him, Boy el beinos lagalgal. Go to between the wheels. Well, these are heavenly things going, we can't relate to them. It's part of the heavenly orchestra, heavenly system, the Merkava. He says, go between the galgal el tachas lakruv, beneath the kruv, one of the forms of the Merkava. Umoloichov necha gachle eish, fill your cupped hands, like the Kengali Yom Kippur, fill them with gachlehesh, with burning coals, mibenis like kruvim, which you will find between the kruvim. Uzroi kalair, take the coals and toss it onto your shalim and burn it. So this is Yecheskel speaking. He's describing what happened. Vayavoy le'enoy, indeed, says Yecheskel, I noticed all this happening. This indeed took place in front of my eyes. Miyad, immediately what happened, Vayishlach HaKruvas Yodoy. So instead of Gavriel reaching directly to the coals, the Kruv, he instructed the Kruv to pass it over to him. And the Kruv, this form in Shemaim, extended his hand. Mi Benes LaKruvim, Ela Eish, Asha Benes LaKruvim, between the Kruvim to the Eish that was lying there. Vayisa V'yitain, El Chafnei L'Vashabadim. And the Kruv scooped out some coals and passed it over and put it into the chafne, into the cupped hands of Gavriel Levush HaBadim. and he took the calls and he left. So he added another step, which he wasn't supposed to add. Instead of reaching directly to the calls and taking it, he asked the crew to pass it on to him. So this extra step served to somewhat mitigate the einish, to cool off the coals a bit. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon, Chasida, indeed. Il mali lo nistananu gecholm. Not for the fact that the coals had a chance to cool off a bit. Miyada shel kruv, liyada shel Gavriel. When they were passed from the kruv to Gavriel, lo nistayru misayin ein shel Yisrael, sorry the poet. There would have been no one left from Yisrael. Sorry the poet, a remnant, a survivor, nobody left. So he minimized, he mitigated the einish by allowing it to cool off. Uksiv, and the pasuk describes further. So once again, Gavriel, Asher Akesis with Masnab, who had this inkwell hanging from him, Meishiv Davalemer, he came back to report that he was Mekayim the Shlichus. Job well done. Osisik HaShatir Yisani. I did exactly as you instructed me to do. Now he got punished. Omer b'yechanan b'yisheh shah. Ha'yitziu l'gavriel me'achorei ha'pargut. At that point, they banned Gavriel. They sent him away from the pargut. U'machyu shitin pulsi denura. And they struck him 60 times. Shitin pulsi denura with 60 pulsi clubs denura of fire. Why? Amrulay, they told him like this. We don't understand. Memonavshach. Eloy Adas. Suppose you would not have carried out your job. Suppose you wanted to delay things, to procrastinate. Perhaps Klai Yisrael would do tshuva, in which case they'll be absolved of this sin, of this einish. Okay, then we would have understood. Eloy Adas, you wouldn't have done. But E Adas, if you carried it through, if you went and did it already, Amayloy Adas, why didn't you carry it out the way it was instructed? You deviated. So that's the first offense. V'oid, an additional offense. The Abdus, even if you would have carried it out 100%, why did you come back? Why did you return with a negative report? Leslach, don't you know? Ein meshivin al kalkala? One is not meant to come back and respond and report badly. In fact, there's a pasuk, U'maitzi diba huksil. You remember we had this back in Psachim, the beginning of Gimel Mabez. What is that meant to convey bad news, tragic news? You weren't meant to come back and tell us that you burnt Yerushalayim. In fact, you know, people say that, you know, there's a levaya today. You're not meant to express bad things. So, two things you did wrong. You didn't follow instructions, and you meishiv al kalkala. So, as a result of this, he was sent away from the pargud. I saw the dubiel. Instead, they brought dubiel. Sora de Parsoi. He was the minister, the Tsar and Shemayim for Persia. The Mefarshim bring the Gemara of the Zohar that Paras is equated to described as a doiv, as a bear. A doiv doesn't rest for a second. He's running to and fro. He's full of energy and adrenaline, eating and running and. And the Tsar of Persia is named accordingly, Dubiel, like his nation. So they brought the Tsar Dubiel, v'ukmei b'charik, and they replaced, they put him into position behind the pargut, whatever role Gavriel was playing up until that point. Now Dubiel took over. They put him there instead of Gavriel. V'shimish esrim b'chad yoyim, and he served in that position for 21 days. This represents the 21 days of Avelis, Mefarshim point out, between Yud Zayin B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So he dominated at that point. He was Meshamish instead of Gavriel. Hayinu d'chsiv, that's Meshan the Pasuk, which is describing what Gavriel told Daniel. V'sar malchus paras oimid l'negdi esrim ve'echad yoim. These are the 21 days that the sar of malchus paras was standing before me, and I was trying to battle him. to weaken his kayach, his domination on Yisrael. V'hinei Michoel echad ha'son rishonim bolazrin. And suddenly Michoel, one of the first ministers, perhaps first meaning the most important, he's the Michoel associated with Klal Yisrael, bolazrin, came to help me to overpower the Tsar of Paras. Vanino sartis shom etzel Malchi Paras, and I was standing there throughout that period to oppose the Malchi Paras. So what happened? Yehovulei eshem v'chad Malchi. They paid him for the job. He was standing there 21 days. So what did they give the Tsar Shel Paras? 21 kings who will reign throughout the Malchus Paras. Uparvosa de Mashik. They gave him this royal port. Parvasa Rashi says a port, the Mashik, a royal port where they find, where they mine margolias, pearls, diamonds. So he got this as payment for his job. Now he saw things were working out well. So Tsar Shel Paras, pushing his luck a bit further, he says, you know what? If I'm going to dominate Klal Yisrael, I'd like you to give me the rights, the power to tax them. Omar Ksivu Lili Yisrael, I want you to write for me a document. Lili Yisrael Ba'karga, that Yisrael will have to pay their head taxes to me. Cost for it. So in Shemayim, they granted his request. They wrote him up that document. Ksivu Lili Rabbona Ba'karga, I want you to add the Rabbon as well into the contract. They too should have to pay head tax to me. Cost for it. They granted his request. They wrote it in. As soon as about to sign the document and implement it, Omad Gavriel came along and he sought to oppose it. Omad Gavriel Machira Pargat, he got up behind the Pargat, behind the Machitza, right, because he was banned from the Mokim Hashchina, he was standing outside. And from his position, he took up Klal Yisrael's case and he says, V'omar, how can you grant power and domination to Malchi Paras to this extent. We find that the Pasuk praises even the wives of Talmid Chachamim. Certainly Talmid Chachamim themselves. They shouldn't be dominated by Malchi Paras. Futile is your effort, those who wake up early, go to sleep late, in pursuit of wealth, parnos, oich lelechem atzav, eat sad and sorrowful bread. Kein yitein ledidei shena, the same. Hashem grants to his yedidim, the ones that are dear to him, tamid chachamim. And the Gemara say applies to the wives of tamid chacham as well. My kein yitein ledidei shena. Om Rabbi Yitzchak elu nishoysein shal tamid chachamim. Even the wives. Shemanada de shena. Me'ineim. Means they deprive themselves, they deprive their eyes of sleep. Lididoy of Shena, the Menadet Shena. Waiting for their husbands to return from Beis Medrash. V'zoiches Olam Haba. On account of which there's Zoicha, a great portion of Olam Haba. How can you allow the Melech of Paras to charge the head tax from Tamid Chacham, their head tax, and Meshabed them and make life difficult for them? They're meant to be free from this type of influence. So despite this protest voiced by Gavriel, they didn't pay attention to him. So he turned to the source, to Hashem himself, Amar Lefonov, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Im Yiu Kol Chach Me'umes Olam, B'Kaf Maznayim. Take a look. Of all the scholars and professors found throughout all the universities and colleges throughout the world, you take them all together and put them on one side of a scale. Daniel ish chamudos b'kaf shnia, and one yid, one tzaddik, Daniel ish chamudos, a man of purity, as we went yesterday. He was engaged in inoy, in purification, in affliction, on account of Klal Yisrael and the Shechina. One man, one tzaddik, quality. Daniel ish chamudos b'kaf shnia, on the other side of a scale. Who's heavier? Who weighs down that scale? Who has more value in your eyes, Hashem? Lo nimtza machrias kulam. Isn't Daniel going to weigh everybody down? He's way more valuable. How can you grant the Melech Paras domination over the Talmid Chacham? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is this? Who is that voice that I'm hearing? Who is advocating for my children? Omar Lefanav. So he told Hashem, Ribbono Shelolam got real. It's actually got real. Standing outside the paragod, outside the machitza. Omar Lehem Yavet. He told him, bring him in. Shenemar. Oh, Vani Basi B'dvarecha. That's what Gabriel meant. He tells Daniel, by mentioning your name, by including you in my advocacy to Hashem, my bim lamed zchus for Klal Yisrael, because of you and your madrigas, I was allowed back in to the paragot. Omar lo leil, Hashem tells them, bring him in, let him enter. Ailu, they let him back in, and he comes in, he sees. Also, ashichel dubil, he notices dubil. Right, that was a sar of Paras. What is he holding on to? That document. Bola Mirimini. He wanted to grab it from him. Bola. So he swallowed it. So what happened? Igad Amri. Some say Michtav Aviksiva. It was actually all written up, but Michtam Loy Avichasma, but was not yet signed, in which case it was never really implemented. There's another version. Igad Amri. Some say Af Michtam Navi Avichasma. It was actually signed. But what happened? Kedibale, while the Melech Paras, the Tsar, was swallowing it, Machik Laminei, some of the signature, some of the document got erased. And that's what we find an interesting thing. Some Jews pay taxes, and some don't. Haynu de Malchus of the Paras, that's why in the Malchus of Paras in Persia, Ikad Yoev Karg, some pay the taxes, Vikad Leiv Karg, and some don't. Because he was left with half a document. So you had half of Shlita, half domination. Some pay, some don't pay. The Pasuk continues further. Vani Yoitze. Gabriel is describing as he's leaving the area. Vine Tsar Yavan Bo. And I see the Tsar of Yavan of Greece arriving, which is symbolic of his empowerment. The fact that he was given the Rishus to enslave Klal Yisrael. Avi, Avi. So he rang out, he cried out in protest. This is Gabriel, that Greece should not dominate Yisrael, and there was nobody to pay attention to him. And indeed, we do find that in history. Malchus Yavan dominated the world and dominated Klal Yisrael. There was a Golus Yavan. As per this description, the fact that he was given Shlita despite Gabriel's protest. So we find that Tsar Shel Paras had domination, Tsar of Yavan had domination, and this corresponds to the Goliath that we experienced throughout history. So that's the Pshat Vani Basi V'dvarecha. Because of you and your Madrigas and your purification, your Tahara, I was let back into the Paragoid, and I was able to obliterate some of the Xerites. Continues the Gemara, V'boyisema. We're looking for sources. Where do we find that these five things, right? Achila v'shtia, sicha, rechitza, nilas sandal, tash shamita, are considered inui experiences. Experiences of discomfort and affliction, in which case one is meant to abstain, right? One is meant to abstain from these things in Yom Kippur, to be mekayim v'inisim sam shesich. So yesterday, we found the makar for sicha and rechitza from that pasuk by Daniel, described as being engaged in inui. And what did he abstain from? Pasuk says v'soich leisachti. Sicha means smearing. V'soich leisachti, the extra pasuk, referring to rechitza as well. So he refrained from rechitza and sicha, and he was engaged in inui. So you see, those things are called inui. We actually have another pasuk for sicha, v'toivah kamayim bekirboi v'chashem batzmoisav. And the Gemara says, just as shtia is asar in Yom Kippur, likewise, kashem batzmoisav, sicha, smearing oneself with oil, is also asar as well. So we have two makaris for sicha. We have one makar for rechitza. The Gemara now provide another makar for rechitza. How do we know it's considered inui? V'boyis ema, another pshat rechitza, the ikri inui min olam. What do we find that abstaining from rechitza is considered inoy mach? From here, the chsiv This was when Shlomo HaMelech took over the Malchus. And Adoniyo, who was his competition, ended up getting killed. And Shlomo now turns to Avyasar, who supported Adoniyo. And he says, you know, V'Avyasar HaKoyin Amar HaMelech. The king tells him, Anosis Lech, go to Anosis, Al Sadecha, to your land. Really? You're a guilty man. Ki ish mavesata. You deserve to die because you rebelled against me. But I'm going to leave you for now. I'm not going to kill you today. Why? Ki nasasa es aroin Hashem ufnei David avi. You helped my father out. You carried the urn for my father David. V'chi san esa b'chol asher is ana avi. You participated in his inui. Right? You commiserated with him. You were misana with my father when he was going through hard times. So what do we see? That David HaMelech engaged in Inui. What exactly did he engage in explain why? What exactly did he do, which is considered Inui, right? Uksive b'David. We find another pasuk describing exactly what David HaMelech was involved in. Kiyamru am. The people were saying regarding David, Ra'ev, ve'ayev, ve'tzami b'amidbar. That's why they described, that's why they related to David. Let's break this apart. What does this mean? Ra'ev, he was hungry from lack of sustenance, milechem. Ve'tzami, from lack of water, mimai. What does ayev mean? Mimai. Well, as a result of what? Lav merechitz. Should we not assume poor lack of bathing, lack of rinsing? So apparently, David HaMelech was engaged in, he was hungry, thirsty, and he didn't have rechitza. And how does the pasuk describe his experience? Inui. So you see, a lack of rechitza equals inui. So how do you know? V'dilma min ilas asandal. He didn't have what to wear. He didn't have proper footwear. That's called inui. Elon Rav Yitzchak mihacha. I'm bringing a raya. That lack of rechitza is considered inui. Mayim karam al nevesh ayefa. Cold water poured upon a fatigued person. Nefesh ayef. So we see that ayef is from a lack of rechitza, which invigorates the person, refreshes the person. So let's assume that David HaMelech's ayef was connected to rechitza, and that's called inui. Says more of Dima Mishtir. Perhaps the pasuk here, Mayim Karim al Nefesh ayefa, means cold water, drunk by a person who's ayif. Not referring to rachitza. Now, of course, the word ayif by David HaMelech cannot mean thirsty from lack of liquid, because it says he was ro'ev at summit. Summit means that he was thirsty. But in any case, the word ayif doesn't necessarily mean rachitza. It can mean something else. It means he didn't have footwear. He didn't have shoes. Says the Gemara, Miksiv b'nefesh ayefa. Does then the pasuk say, Mayim karam b'nefesh ayefa? Which would indicate drinking? Al nefesh ayefa ksiv. Put on a nefesh ayefa. It's referring to the rinsing, rechitza process. So we see that rechitza is applied to a nefesh ayefa. And lack of rechitza brings about ayefa, it's fatigue. And David HaMelech, who's described as being ayef, would indicate a lack of rechitza. And how is that experience described? With the word inui. So you see that abstaining from rechitza is considered an affliction, an inui experience, and indeed, that is asar Yom Kippur. Or that is meant to be done in Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Uni'ilas hasandal menolam. What about ni'ilas hasandal? Refraining from wearing shoes. How do we know that that's considered inui and required in Yom Kippur? Once again, back to David HaMelech, who experienced inui, and included in that experience, Gemara is going to prove, was a lack of adequate footwear. He was going up Mal HaZeisim, going up and crying, uncovered head. He was going yachif. What does that mean? Yachiv mimai, barefoot, bare of what? Lav milas hasandal. Apparently, he didn't have shoes. So we see that he experienced a lack of adequate footwear, right? And once again, we describe them as being the inoy, in a state of inoy. Apparently, inoy refers to nilas sandal. Says, well, maybe he had shoes. V'dilma misusir maratika. He was missing a horse and a whip. He had to walk, and that's what we call yachif. But he was wearing shoes. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mahach, I'll prove it from elsewhere. Hashem tells Yeshaya, Lech upitachta sak me'al masnecha. Go remove the sack from yourself. V'nalcha tachlitz. And remove your shoes. Tachlitz malaglecha. Right? Uksiv, and the pasuk continues and says, Vayaske, he followed through. Right? Holoich oroim v'yochiv. So he's walking orim, undressed, v'yochiv and barefoot. Yochiv and maya. What does yochiv mean? Love, minilas a sandal. Apparently it means bereft of footwear. So you see that the word yochiv is referring to somebody not wearing shoes. And that's what yochiv by David HaMelech means. And he experienced inu. So you see, ilas a sandal brings inu. V'eima ben olam hamtulam. Perhaps Yeshayo wasn't without any shoes. It means he had patched up shoes, low quality shoes. That's what the pasuk means. You should go yachif with patched shoes. But it doesn't mean without any shoes. And perhaps min olam hamatulayim is sufficient for inu. Dilo tem yachif, because if you're not going to agree to me, arayim, the pasuk says, he was arayim yachif. Arayim mamish. Completely undressed, hard to believe. Ela begadim beluim. Apparently, it just means he wore worn out begadim. He was dressed, but low grade clothing. Hachanami, b'min olam hamatulayim. Here as well, when it comes to yachiv, perhaps doesn't mean without shoes whatsoever. It means patched up shoes. So you have no raya that yachiv means without shoes. Ela omar nachmaritzak mahacha. I'll bring you a raya from this pasuk. So your miyo warns Klal Yisrael. Midi raglich miyachiv, ugrenich mitzima. Prevent raglich from the state of yachiv, and groinich from being parched and thirsty. And what does this mean? Midi atzmeich menachet. Avoid doing sin, kadesh lo yavoy raglich l'deyichiv. So that you don't come to be barefoot, to walk without shoes, to be sent into galus, into exile. Rashi says the derech of somebody going into exile is without shoes, barefoot. Mini l'shenich medvarim b'teilim. Avoid speaking. Dvarim b'teilim, meaningless chatter. Kadei shelo yove gwenech leitzima. So that your throat doesn't come to thirst. So we see clearly, yachif means without shoes. David HaMelech was yachif, without shoes, and he experienced oini. So you see, abstaining from footwear is considered oini. So he brought a right from David HaMelech's experience of Oini, which included both these aspects, lack of rochitza, lack of proper footwear. We see from here, that's considered an Inu experience, which applies to Yom Kippur as well. Tashmish Shamita Dikru Inu Minola. How do we know that abstaining from Tashmish is considered Inu as well? That's meant to be done in Yom Kippur. Dichsiv Yim Ta'anes B'noisai Yim Tikach Noshim. This is Lavan. Loving the Shver, he tells Yaakov, look after my children, Rachav Aleah. Don't be ma'ana them, right? Don't afflict them. He made a shvoy, he committed him to take care of his kids. Don't bring inui, and don't add, if you tikach noshim, don't add more wives onto the scene. So that we understand. But what does the first part mean? Im ta'ana says one mitashmish. Says Rashi on top. Im ta'ana mitashmish lahashmish anosa. To refrain from engaging in tashmish. That's called inu. Vim tikach means, says the one vim tikach mitzoris. He was mashbia him not to add more wives. A tzora, a competing wife. So apparently, refraining from tashmish is described as inu. Says one, how do you know? Ve'ema idiv idiv mitzoris. Perhaps it's all one and the same warning. He was warning him against adding new wives. Don't be ma'ane by marrying more wives. Well, miksiv im tikach. Does the pasuk then say im ta'ane im tikach, which would seem to be referring to the same thing, right? It doesn't say that. V'im tikach ksiv. V'im tikach means that there are two things here. A, im ta'ana, mitashmish. And secondly, v'im tikach. Warning you against adding more wives. So apparently, inoy is describing the lack of tashmish. V'im idim mitzaris. Perhaps both aspects of that pasuk is referring to adding more wives. Chad l'tzaris didei. One, referring to the in-house tzaris. He was warning him against upgrading Bilha and Zilpa to the status of regular wives, in which case is going to introduce new competing entities onto the scene. So that's tzaris didei, in-house tzaris. V'chad l'tzaris da'asli ma'alma. The second part of the pasuk, v'im tikach, he's warning him against acquiring new wives from outside. So perhaps it's unrelated to Tashmish, to Oina. It's referring to adding new tzoreis to the scene, whether in-house or from an external source. Says the Dumidim Tikach, right? So let them both be similar to each other. Just as Imtikach means don't go and marry new wives. The first part as well, Imta'ana, is referring to adding new wives to the scene by upgrading Bilha and Zilpa status to wives. Miksiv imtikach imtana. You see, if it would have been referring to that, what's more severe? What's more harsh? Which one of these two elements? Upgrading the in-house wives or bringing in from outside? Of course, the second, right? Bringing new wives from the outside is more difficult to bear. So in which order should he have spoken? He should have first addressed the more serious offense, right? I'm warning you against marrying new wives from elsewhere. And then added, well, not only that, even this, right? Even upgrading Bilha and Zilpa is unacceptable. So the pasuk should have listed it in that order. And it doesn't. Miksiv im tikach v'im tana. Does then the pasuk say, I'm warning you against marrying new wives, and also v'im ta'ana, against upgrading the status of Bilha and Zilpa to consider them as wives? It doesn't say it that way. Rather, im ta'ana, he first warned him against Bima'ana, which according to you means upgrading Bilha and Zilpa, and then he said V'imtikach, getting new wives, which is the wrong order. Right? If he's referring to that, he should have said it the other way around. Apparently, Imta'ana means Imta'ana mitashmish, Imtikach means warning him against acquiring new wives. So we have a raya that Minias Tashmish is considered Inui, in a fact that's included in the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. Amalir Apapal Abaye, Ha Tashmish Gufa Ikur Inui. We find that the actual engagement in Tashmish is considered, described as Inui, Yachsir Vayishkav Oysa Vayaneo. By Dina, right? Shechem, he engaged in Tashmish and it's called Inui Vayaneo. So we see that this type of activity, whether it's a forceful engagement or over engagement, is considered inui. So, how could you say that inui on Yom Kippur is considered refraining from tashmish? We see the other way around. Amalei, so he responded, you know what the pshat there is? Hosam she'ino mebias achiris. So Rashi in the first pshat says, shoyisam mas'avalei v'loi bo'aleo bo'inoso b'yomim sh'omda etzlei. That her desire was aroused by him, and then when he refrained, that was considered the inui. So we see that minias tashmish indeed is considered inui. So in any case, we have rayas to all three things: sicha, rechitza, four things. Sicha, rechitza, nidas asando, tashmish amita. Sicha we had from Daniel, v'seich leisachti. He engaged in inui. What was included in that? V'seich leisachti, rechitza and sicha. We have the other pasuk of, we find Sicha is equated to Shtia, Pasuk and Tehillim. And furthermore, we find by David HaMelech who engaged in Inui. And included in that was abstaining from Rechitza and Nilas HaSandal. And regarding Tashmish HaMita, Imtana es Pnoisai, which is referring to refraining from Tashmish, is considered Inui as well. Tan Rabbanon Osor Lirchoitz Miksas Gufoi Kechol Gufoi, just as one can't rinse his entire body, he can't rinse even part of his body. Now, Tosfos Shana points out that even according to the Shittos, that all these inuyim amen ha-Torah, But if it's only mitzvah kufoy, it's certainly only midrabban. Continues the brayso. Vim ayam muluch lach betitv betzoya. Let's say he was dirty, it was mud or dirt. Roichetz kedarke ben achoshish. Go and rinse it off without any concern. That's not called rechitza shel tanuk. It's not an enjoyable experience. That's not considered bitul of inui. Also losuch mitzvah kufoy kechol kufoy. Likewise, when it comes to sicha, one can't smear oil, anoint even part of his body, just as he can't his entire body. If he was ill and he needed it, or he had some sort of scabs in his head, in which case he's adding oil, not for a tonic purpose, but for four purposes. He can smear properly without any concern. An isha who needs to feed her son can wash one hand. Rashi learns, she woke up in the morning, she has unwashed hands. So we allow to wash that one hand, to offer bread to her son, without any concern. So we do this in order to prevent sakana from that tinek, from that baby. Go ahead and we allow her to wash her hand. Omra love al shami hazokin. So following was said regarding shami hazokin, who is machmer. He refused to wash his hand when offering bread to the tinoik. Perhaps he felt the danger was not imminent and didn't justify washing. The decreed on him, go ahead and wash both hands in order to reinforce this halacha, this allowance. My timer, what's the concern? Why do you have to wash your hands? Let's go over to Rashi here, right in the middle of the Amid. Medichas yada, says Rashi. Concerned about a shed shipsa, which comes around and can endanger the child when somebody offers him bread with unwashed hands. Now Teresa says, unwashed hands, that wouldn't be a concern. Of course you could wash your hands in the morning. It's no worse than washing tit and soya off your hands. The Ran says, spiritual dirt and impurity is no less than physical dirt. That's not called rechitza shel tanug. Anybody can wash their hands in the morning to remove the shade and the rachra that comes throughout the night. Tesis learns that this shibsa concern over here in Al-Gemara is even regarding washed hands, a special shade that would come around if one offers food to a child before having washed his hands specifically for that purpose. But Tosfos ends off that Bizman Azer would not nizer. We don't have that evil spirit in our areas. Kimoi, he says, Kimoi shein is her and alagilui valazuga. It's just as if we're not careful regarding leaving liquid uncovered. We don't really have snakes around us, at least in inhabited areas. And also zugais, which is discussed in great length in the Gemara and Psachim, not to drink two cups, not to eat two eggs, etc., because of shade and rachra. We don't had that concern today, we're not mocking it. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabban. We're going to have several other exceptions, several other examples of allowances where we allow a person to get himself wet on Yom Kippur, and the common denominator will be that it's not for the purpose of tonic. It's not for enjoying purposes, and therefore it's mut. Tana Rabban, ha'hoylech lahakbil p'nei aviv. If one is on the way to be makbel his father, to greet his father, do a mitzvah, oipnei rabbi, or his teacher, oipnei mi shegadlo imenu, or to go greet somebody who's greater than him, chachma, and he encounters a river, a lake, a puddle, a pond, oiver ad savar b'mayim, he can walk through even deep water, even neck deep, v'ene choshesh, without any concern, speaking of course, Yom Kippur, there's no rechitza concern, because it's not for pleasure purpose. Iboilu, what about Haravit al Tamid Mai? Let's say the Rav decides he has to go visit the Talmud, give him chizik, or teach him Torah. Can he pass through water? Tashma, the svar would be perhaps it's not so visible that he's going to do a mitzvah. He's the Rebbe going to the Talmud, so perhaps we don't allow it. What is the halacha? Tashma, listen to the Rav. The Amar of Yitzchak by Rachana, Ano Chazita, he testified. He says, I observed Liz Ziri. Ziri, who was the Rebbe, the Hazal Gabi Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Talmid. He waded through water to reach his Talmud, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Apparently it's okay. There's another version of this event. Rav Ashi Omar. No. was actually a Talmud on the way to the Rebbe. Ahu Rav Chiya Bar Ashihu, the Ozel Gabed Ziri Rabbi. It was a Talmud going to Ziri his Rebbe. Rav Shor Levnei Avery Amina. Rav allowed the people living in Avery Amina Lemever B'maya to pass through water on Yom Kippur Lenturi Peri, to go reach their fruit, to go wash their peris. Chacham allowed this on account of Hefsed Mamon, to avoid monetary loss. Amalei Abayi LeRava, Tani the Messiah Elach, I've arrived from a brisa to you. Shomrei Peris, Oivrin Atzavaren B'mayim Ein Chayshishin. The Peris watchman can pass through water without any concern. Rav Yosef Shoralu, he allowed Livnei Beit Harbu, to the people living in Beit Harbu, Lemever B'mayu, to wade through water on Yom Kippur, Lemeis LePirka, to come to the Shir, to come to the Drasha. So he allowed them to come, but didn't allow them to go back home. Lemeis LeShoralu, he didn't allow them to return back home through water. Ha'omali Abaye, Imkeina Temachshilon Asad Lovei. He says, you're going to discourage them from coming again in the future. You should let them go back. It's part of the process. Ikedam, there's another version. Shorlu lemesi. Indeed, he allowed them to come through water, the shorlu lemesel, and to return back home, wading through that same water. Amle Abaye. So Abaye challenged him. He says, Bishlema lemesi lechaye. Understand that you allow them to come. Bishlema lemesi to come lechaye. That makes sense. That I understand. On the way to doing a mitzvah. Elo lemesel, my time. Why would you allow them to return back home through water? And responded, Kadesha loyte hemachshil, I should love it. In order not to discourage them in the future. Well, if you don't allow them to go back home on Yom Kippur, they're never going to come again. Rav Yehuda and Virav Shmuel Bar Rav Yehuda, these two, Havukaimi, they were standing Aguda on the river bank, the Nahar, right, on the river bank of Dinar, Amabra, at the crossing point, the Chatzdad, opposite the town of Chatzdad. They were standing there. Vavakoi Rami Bapapa Machis. Rami Bapapa was standing on the other side of the river. Ramul Hukala. He called out to them, Maulami Avar. What is the halacha regarding crossing over? Lemesi Lagabaycha, to come to you. Lemishal Shemata, to ask you a halacha. Am I allowed? Can I wade through water on Yom Kippur for this purpose? Amali Rav Yehuda. He says, yeah. Rav Ushmuel Damitavai. They both said, Oiver. You can pass through water. Ubavan shelo yoytzi yodai, as long as he keeps his hand inside, he doesn't pick his hand out, mitachas chafas chalukai, beneath the hem of his robe. Keep his hand down, because if he lifts his hand to pick up his chaluk, to avoid getting wet, Rashi explains, that's called the malach of hoytzah, because he's actually carrying that robe, he's not wearing it the way it's ordinarily worn, so you must be careful. Walk with your hands down and come through the water in that manner. Ikad Amri, there's another version of the event here, who responded, Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, he was the one who responded, Taninu Ever Brais, over, he can pass through water, Ubavad Shalo Yotz Yodoy Metachas Chapas Chalukoy Maskev L'Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef has a problem. He says, fine, it's not Rechitz on Yom Kippur, but how could one endanger himself? Brais said, Over at Savori B'mayim, right, to go greet the Rebbe. You can wade through neck-deep water. U'b'choil ki'agavna mishor, even during the weekdays. Is that allowed? Can a person place himself in sakana, go through such deep water? B'ksiv. Listen to this pasuk, describing the stream of water, which flowed out, which will flow out, in the third base of Migdash, from Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Radal says, this was Be'eru Shel Miriam, which gives Chachma, so the Mayan of Chachma would flow out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Yecheskel describes it as follows. Vayomad Elof, Ba'ama, the Malach, he measured the first leg, the first segment of that stream, he measured the first 1,000 Amma, Vayavirene Ba'mayim, and he took me through that water, Me'afasayim, which were ankle deep. Right? The first section was rather shallow. Mikan Shemuter Laver Adafasayim. We learn from here, one can wade through water which is only ankle deep. Cheskel describes further, Vayomad Elof, he measured the next 1,000 amma of that stream, now it got deeper, Vayavirene B'mayim, Meber Chaim, now it was knee deep. So he carried it through that water. Mikash Shemuta Laver Adbukayim, we learn from here, you can wade through knee deep water. Vayomet Elof. Now he measured the next 1,000 Amma. It got even deeper. Vayavireni Memosnaim. He took me through this water, which was already waist deep. Mikan Shemuter Laver Admosnaim. We learn from here. You can wade through water that deep. But past that, no. Mikan Ve'elach. What does it say further? Vayomet Elof. He measured the next 1,000 Amma. Nachal Asher Lo Yichol Aver. It was so deep, I couldn't pass through it. Apparently, because of danger, because of sakana. Amar Abaye Shani Nachal. This river flowing out of Kodesh HaKadoshim. This was a stormy brook. The Radifi Maya. It's storming water, which indeed would endanger a person. As opposed to the water described above, which was placid water, as a lake, a pond. In which case, even if it's deep, you can just walk through it. Back to the Nachal coming out of the Beis HaMidrash, which was now so deep and impassable. Yochol Yavirenu B'Sichoy, perhaps you can get through it by swimming. No, Kigo Amayim Meisachu. The water was so stormy, you couldn't even swim through it. Meisachu, May Meisachu. What does that mean? Shiyuta, even through swimming. Shekein Koyren LeShayata. Sayacha, because people refer to a Shayata, one who swims, a Sayacha. That's what he's called. So we see that Shayit means to swim. You couldn't even swim through it. Yochol Yavirenu. Perhaps he can pass through that water using a small sized ship. Even a small boat couldn't pass through it. Perhaps he can pass through it with a large ship. Even a large ship can't pass through it. My mashma. How do you know this is the Pshan the Pasuk? Rav Yosef explained. You can't get through it even with a little boat. A boat used by the fishermen, by the tzayodim. Uburni rabosi, like Siguzena. Likewise, a large ship can't pass through it. Omar Vida ben Pazi, af malach hamavis, ein l'rishus laver b'soich. Even the sultan malach hamavis has no access. This is Be'irish al Miriam Chachma. He's banished from that scene. K'siv hocha bal teilach boy, onishayit. Pasuk here says, an onishayit can't pass through it. So we have the term shayit, uksiv hasam, and elsewhere we see mishayit baritz. This was a satan who wandered around the world. So you see, Mishoit Shait relates to the satan. He can't have access to this water. Omar of Pinchas, Mishumar of Huna, Tzipura, Mayon Hayoitze, Mbeis Kodesh HaKadoshim. This stream coming out of Kodesh HaKadoshim, Betchila, initially, it's very small. Doime Lekane Chagovim, it was very small and thin, like the antenna of a grasshopper. Kivin Shigele Pesach Echel. So that's at the first point when he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But once it flowed further to the Pesach Hechel, it widened a bit. Nasa kechut shel shesi. It widened to the thickness, the width of the chut shel shesi, like a vertical thread in the loom. Kimesh shegei l'ulam. Once it proceeded further and got to the ulam, nasa kechut shel erif. Now it was already wider. It took on the thickness of the horizontal thread, which is thicker, the horizontal thread in the loom. Once it got to the Pesach Hazara, it widened even more. Nasa kepi pachkatan was as wide as the opening of a small jug. Finally, the snan, as the Mishnah says, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, mayim the waters which are now the size of the opening of a pach of a jug, asidin lias yoitzin mitachas miftan abayis, is going to flow out from the Pesach of the Beis HaMikdash. Mikan ve'elach, past that point, it gets stronger and stronger and deeper, ad shemagel Pesach Beis David, until it gets to that point. Kibet shemagel Pesach Beis David, at that point, na'asa k'nachal shoytef, a stormy gushy nachal, sheboi reichzen, zovin, v'zovois, nidus v'yoldis, all its meim, can use it as a mikvah. Shenemar, bayim ahu yia mekoyer niftach, l'beis David, l'asad lovay is going to be a source of water, flowing out, l'beis David, uli yoshu yishalayim, going to be used, l'chatos, that's the paraduma water, uli nida, for the tzmeim, Amar Rav Yosef, mikan remez l'nida, shetzricha leishev, we have a remez from this pasuk, that a nida, when she's tevil, she has to stand, or some say sit or stand, at savar b'mayim, she has to be able to stand, the mikvah has to be deep enough, that when she stands, it reaches up until her neck. Some farshim explain, because this would avoid any sort of chatzitza. So rather than crouching down, you stand straight up to avoid any folds which would prevent the water from entering. So a tameh has to stand upright, and the mikvah has to be that deep. How do we know this? Uliyosh Yerushalayim, right? Pasuk says Uliyosh Yerushalayim, Chas Anida. So ask it big enough. So you have to actually immerse yourself completely, stand there, and have the water reach your neck. V'les hechazak avasei, says the Gemara, no, actually, halacha does not follow the shita. You could have a shallow mikvah. And of course, you have to make sure that the water reaches all areas within the person, but that's sufficient. Okay, quick chazar of today's daf. We have a makor that the term inui relates to lack of sicha, rechitza, nidos asando, tash shamita. We learned that rechitza or sicha, which is not tanag related, is mutar. And the Gemara described the nachal flowing out from Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Beis HaMikdash, Asad Lovay, Mary Menu, Amen.